Today's Namaste Yoga continues our cultural conditioning series, and today's class is called Money Can't Buy Everything. Hello and welcome to episode 178 of Namaste Yoga. We're here on the shores of Lake Ontario filming today. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to begin with a testimonial from Penny from Wisconsin, and she says, "Thank you so much for your great and wonderful videos on YouTube. I've been wanting to start yoga for years, but I've been too intimidated to try. It happened on your videos just at random, and have now been doing the beginner series 101, 107, 117, and 158 for a month. I mix it up with these episodes, practicing 4 to 6 times a week. You have made yoga inviting, relatable, and most of all, doable. I'm seeing a difference already. I have more energy, I feel stronger, and best of all, a general sense of good feelings." Feeling good, actually, she says. "Thank you for your tremendous efforts in this all, and I look forward to mastering these poses and moving on to the many, many lessons you have so graciously shared." That's from Penny in Wisconsin. So thank you for leaving your comments, and there are instructions on how to do that at thankyoumelissa.com. We have lots of great helpers here at Namaste Yoga. We have Squeezed, our yoga clothing company sponsor, and we have Dusky Leaf, our mat sponsor. I also wanted to take some time to thank all the people that are helping us translate episodes of Namaste Yoga into Spanish and Italian. So huge thank you to those people. We just recently launched another Italian episode this week, so that's pretty exciting. We have 2 episodes in Italian. We have several in Spanish now. And also this past week, I reached out to the Spanish community to help me with responding to all the comments on the Spanish YouTube channel. We don't actually have a Spanish YouTube channel, but all the Spanish videos get a lot of Spanish comments, and I was really struggling with keeping up with those. So thank you to all my bilingual Spanish friends who are helping me with that now. And speaking of help, also want to thank you. We are reaching out for help with our mics. This has sort of been an ongoing thing for us. To replace these mics is going to cost us close to $1,000, $750. This is an issue that we've been dealing with for a while with drop sound. You'll see when I film outside, I have to put it in front of me and move it around a lot, and the sound will get dropped. And what that means for us is that I have to do a lot more takes, and it takes us a lot longer to film when we're outside. Also, when post-production, when we go back inside, Tim has to do a lot of things to fix the video, to make the sound more even, that kind of thing. Also, these are really old ones that we bought used, and they're really heavy, and they pull my pants down. So Tim found this really great service where you can ask people for help in buying things. And so if you go to melissawest.com/mic, and Tim will put a link to it in the episode, you can help us buy new mics for the show, because it's a huge expense for us, and it's one that we just have struggled with getting the money together for. So if you'd like to help us buy new mics for Namaste Yoga, that would really be awesome. So thank you so much for that. I'll leave this here so we get less drop sound. Okay, so let's move on to today's class. We are talking about money can't buy everything today. And for this class, you're going to need a yoga strap, and you're going to need a block. And you can go ahead and rest back, lie down on your back. Cultural conditioning are the social processes by which authority figures such as our parents, professors, politicians, religious leaders, our peers, media, advertising, define our cultural values, beliefs, ethical systems, and ultimately the way we perceive ourselves in the world. Today we are going to explore and look critically at the way we are taught to worship at the altar of consumerism. In our culture, we are told our consumer choices will solve all our problems. Buying the right cleaner will solve our environmental problems. We are told that buying products with the pink ribbon on them will solve and cure breast cancer. Forget that many of these products actually have carcinogens in them. Companies can throw together a green campaign, all in the name of buying their products. In truth, many of today's problems will not and cannot be solved at the level of consumerism. Consumerism has gotten us into many of the problems that we are currently experiencing as a culture. We only need to look at consumer debt, foreclosures, and mortgage defaults as evidence. Money can't buy us everything, and we can't consume our way out of every problem. In yoga, there is a yama called aparigraha, which means non-hoarding, or a really great way of translating it is to say, take only what you need. But today, I want to go even deeper than that in our class, and go so far as to say, you can't buy your way into being a yogi. In our culture, it's easy to buy an expensive yoga mat, fashionable yoga clothes, yoga books at the yoga trade shows. You can pay for fancy yoga retreats and conferences. But unless you're coming to your yoga mat with regular frequency to practice your yoga, you're not going to experience the benefits of your practice. You cannot buy your way into being a yogi. The only way you can become a yogi is through the practice of your yoga. It is called get your butt in the asana. Sit in meditation. Get up every day and practice. I totally understand that we live in a pecuniary world where everything costs money. I understand even in order for me to give away this free weekly yoga class, I have to run a business to support it with our membership site and paid videos. Even I have to pay for the roof over my head, the clothes on the back of myself, Tim and Trinity, and the food we put in our mouths. I also have a heat bill, a water bill, an electric bill. What I'm trying to say is that to find the path to inner peace through your pocketbook is not going to work, even if you're buying yoga products and services. You do not need to accumulate a ton of yoga products and services. Take only what you need to support your yoga practice. Is going to loads and loads of yoga workshops and retreats in the yoga community any different than showing off your fancy car and house in the wider community or wider culture? Do the external trappings matter? Or is it more important that we are what we are cultivating on the inside? As we practice yoga, we have the opportunity to focus on a journey that allows us to uncover our true self, our dharma, our purpose, and in turn create positive change in the world. So today, reflect on all the ways that materialism shows up in spiritual communities. Consider yoga as a practice, as a verb rather than a noun. How does that change things for you? As you reflect on these things, what is your intention for today's practice? Today I'm going to share with you some of the poses that I've had to practice the most and I'm still practicing. So I'm going to really focus on yoga as a practice today. So you can stay lying on your backs, and we're going to start with your strap and This is one of those things that I practiced every day for a good year, probably more like two. And one of those things that I need to start incorporating into my daily practice again, because I've been noticing tight hamstrings and calves. We're going to do Supta Pandangusthasana. So go ahead and hook up your right foot. And draw your right leg up. Keep the back of your leg straight. The back of your pelvis connecting to the ground. Shoulders heavy. And draw your leg in until you feel something happening in the back of your leg. And then staying really heavy through the outside of your left hip, the left side of your hip. Start to open your right leg out to the side slowly. Keep your core engaged so your left hip doesn't lift up off the ground until you feel a stretch in the inside of your right thigh. Lifting up through your pelvic floor, drawing your navel to your spine. And then use your core strength and your inner thigh to bring your right leg back to the center, and then start to cross it over your midline. Keep the back of your pelvis heavy on the ground. Keep drawing your leg in. Feel a stretch on the outside of your right leg. And then draw your leg back to the midline, draw your leg in again. Notice the difference from the beginning. And then go ahead and release your right leg down, and just take a moment now to feel the difference between your two sides and the length of your two legs. And then go ahead and hook up your left foot. Then draw up through your pelvic floor, draw your navel to your spine, drop down through your right hip, slowly open your right leg, sorry, your left leg out to the side, hold onto this strap with your right arm, slowly open out to the side. So you feel something happening on the inside of your left thigh. Thank you. draw up to your pelvic floor. Use your inner thigh and your abdominal muscles to bring your leg back to the center. Keep drawing your leg in and cross it over your body. Then bring your leg back to the center and draw it in again. And release your leg down onto the ground. We're going to come into cat pose, so roll to your side and come onto all fours. Okay, so coming onto all fours, hands underneath your shoulders, knees underneath your hips. Spread your fingers nice and wide. Exhale and round up through your back. Inhale and arch through your back. And then from here, we're going to take your left leg to the back of the mat and rotate open, lift your left arm up. And we're going to be doing half moon balancing pose later. So we're going to practice it from here closer to the ground. So just lift your left leg up. And balance is a practice too. And then roll back down. And this time you'll take your right leg to the back of your mat. Roll your right hip open, lift your right arm. And you can stay here, practice this as balance. Draw your navel back to your spine, and lift your right leg. Feel your whole shin on the ground. And then roll back. Okay. So now we're going to do something similar to work on your core strength, but also your balance. We're going to build from here. So come onto your right side. Come down onto your right elbow. Make your body in a straight line. Elbows underneath your shoulder. Bend your knees back. Pull your shoulder back. And using your torso, lift your torso away from your shoulder until your hips come off the ground. Lift your arm up and you can stay here. Or you can extend your right leg off the ground. Extend it out and stay here. Or you can take your right leg up. Thank you. And then slowly lower down, and we'll do this on the other side. So come on to your left side. Take your left elbow underneath your left shoulder. Body's in a straight line. Bend your knees back. Pull your torso away from your shoulder so that you're lifting from your core, not using your shoulder muscle to lift, because your core is a lot stronger than your shoulder. So pull your torso up off the ground. Keep creating this space bigger here. You can stay here, or you can extend your leg out. Lift your top arm up, maybe lift your top leg. And then you're gonna slowly lower down and come on to all fours again. And we're gonna come into lunge pose. So come back up to standing on your knees. We'll walk through with your left foot first. Really sink down through your front left foot. So you can come upright, opening up through the front of your hips. This is because we're gonna work on camel later. That pose, man. I avoid practicing that, if truth be known. Come on up. So opening up the fronts of your hips. And the fronts of your hips just get tight from everyday pedestrian activity, from sitting and walking. So this is a pose we need to practice often. And then slowly lower down, we'll switch sides. And you're going to walk your right leg through now. So really sink down through the front of your right foot. And come upright, press forward through the front of your right hip. Float your arms up. Keep dropping down through your right sit bone. And then slowly lower down. From here, you're going to need your blocks. So you can take your blocks and bring them to the front of your mat and place your left foot between them. Then you're going to curl your right toes underneath at the back. Breathe in. Breathe out and straighten out through both legs. You'll feel a stretch in the front leg and the muscles in the backs of your front leg. So I find in my body, this stretch just never gets old. And then turn your right toes out to a 45 degree angle. Drop your left sit bone and open your right arm up for triangle pose, Trikonasana. This pose too, I found, took a lot of practice. You can look up at your right fingertips, but if that bothers your neck, then it's totally fine to look down at your toes as well. Whatever is most comfortable in your body today? And then turn your head down, look down at your left foot and your left hand on your left block. Bend your front left knee. You could even move your block forward a bit. Lift your back leg up and come into half moon balancing pose. You can either keep your eyes looking on the ground or turn your head up. Easier to look at the ground. And then we'll come back down and repeat that whole sequence again. So this time you'll have your right foot between the blocks. And you'll turn your left toes under. Breathe in, breathe out, and straighten out through both legs. Then you're going to turn your back toes out, drop your right sit bone, open your left hip, bring your left arm up for triangle pose. And then bend your front knee, and you can move your right block forward. Come up onto your right leg. Bring your back left leg up. Lift your left arm. And keep looking at the ground in front of you. Or if you're feeling really steady, you can slowly start to turn your head and look up as well. It takes practice. So these are poses I found take practice. Let you finish off that half moon balancing. I'm gonna have a drink of water and then we'll meet in downward facing dog. Okay, so for downward facing dog, step your feet back, lift your hips up towards the ceiling, spread your fingers really wide, reach out into the webs of your hands, reach your sit bones up towards the ceiling, reach your weight back towards your heels. This pose, you know, this one has always, just takes a lot of practice for me too. And there was a really long period of time where I couldn't do this pose because of my headaches as well, so. So one that I'm picking up like a beginner again. Okay, and then come on down onto your knees. And we're going to do camel's pose for our back bend today. And this pose, I don't know, the combination of back bend and throat opener, it's just been always a very challenging back bend for me. So for this one, we're going to, we did this one in the past where you put your block in between your knees to keep your knee. And then we'll do it one-sided so you can put the block by your left knee. Tuck your tailbone under so your low back stays long. Inhale, reach up and over to your left block and then lift your heart center. And then come on up and over, and we'll do this on the other side. So take your block and place it by your right heel. Again, the tailbone tucking under is to open up through your right hip. So you can see there's a small flexion in your hips here. You want to open up that space so your spine is long. Lift your heart up towards the ceiling or the sky if you're outside. And reach up and over. And then if you want to try both sides, you can place your blocks on the outside of either ankle. There's an option here. You can take your hands onto your low back. Lift your heart from here. Maybe reach up and over. And up and over to the other side. We needed more quad stretches for this class. Great. Oh, I can feel. I've been focusing a lot on strengthening in my own personal practice lately. I can feel tight the quads. Okay, come on down and fold forward into child's pose. You slowly come up to sitting, and we're going to do those twists that we did last week again, because one thing that I noticed was that I needed to practice them a little bit more, because it was challenging to keep my spine lengthening in those twists while doing those binds. So I thought we would do them again this week. They were worthy of repeating. So sit with your legs straight out and bend your right leg in. Press into your right foot. Keep your spine lengthening up best as you can. Inhale, reach up. Take your right arm to the inside of your right leg and then reach around and hold on to your hand and re-lift up through your spine. Okay, and then release and extend your right leg out, bend your left leg in, press into your left foot, extend through your right leg. Inhale, reach your left arm up, take your left arm to the inside of your right leg and twist. Bend your left arm around the back of your right leg and lengthen up through your spine. And then go ahead and release that bind. And this is where it was probably more challenging to keep that spine lengthening, was with the forward fold. So bend your right leg in. Inhale, reach your right arm up. Exhale, place your right hand to the inside of your right leg and fold forward. And you could stay here. This would be great. You could even just take your left hand to the back of your spine. Or you can add the bind and focus on your spine lengthening, even though you're adding the forward fold this time. And then release and switch to your left leg. Extend through your right leg. Inhale, reach up. So you could just leave your left hand to the inside of your left knee, or add the twist with your right hand behind, or add the bind with the forward fold. Focusing on keeping your spine long, reaching forward with your heart. Okay, whew, so that was a practice. We're going to finish with a mudra. This was a mudra, and I worked with it this morning in my loving kindness meditation practice, and it was really fruitful, actually. It's called the Bhumisparsha Mudra. And the way it works is that with your left hand, you point your fingers down and you actually touch the ground with your fingers. So if when you do that, when your hands are out here, it creates a lot of shoulder strain. Now we've just done those binds with the forward fold, so your shoulders might be relaxed enough that you can have your hand out on your knee like this. But if it does, just bring your hand back to the point where there isn't shoulder strain, and you can have your fingers touching the ground. Okay, so choose something that's, or you could even do it on the outside of your leg. Choose a position that's comfortable for you so that you're not straining through your shoulders and creating neck and shoulder strain. Okay, does that make sense? And then the other hand is facing up. And the point of this is that one hand is connected with your earthly connection and one hand is connected with your spiritual pursuits. So it's like what we talked about at the beginning of the show, where I was saying I'm completely aware that we're doing a spiritual practice here, but at the same time that I live in the world and I have a mortgage to pay and a roof to put over my head and grocery bill and heat bill and that kind of thing. So it's like the juggling of the two worlds. And it comes from the Buddhist practice. Mara, the god of illusion, tried to make Buddha believe that he was not even entitled to a tiny bit of earth that he sat on in meditation. Then the Buddha touched the ground with the fingers of his hand and swore he would always remember he was entitled to remain on the earth because of his many good deeds. This mudra reminds us how important it is to live in this world and fulfill our earthly obligations while working towards enlightenment. So I thought it was a really great mudra to work with. So we'll sit with that for a little bit. You can choose to finish your practice sitting with this mudra, or you can rest back in Shavasana now. Gradually deepen your breath. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Bend your knees. Roll to your right side. Make your way up to sitting. Thank you for joining us for episode 178 of Namaste Yoga, the dump truck and lawnmower episode. See you on the membership site. Namaste. Are you filming it again? It's actually the third time, only the second time you're filming it.